Hello. It's a nice rainy afternoon for sitting and being together. And Jen, I don't know, do you have rain down there in Pueblo? A little bit. Well, it feels right to just drop us into the meditation pretty quickly here. And so let's do that. And we are a small enough gathering so that we'll have great leisure for conversation. And that feels good for today, too. This is one way that the storehouse of treasures opens up itself. And it's kind of lovely to have this aspect of it to keep us company, at least those of us who are here in Colorado Springs. Nick, I'm guessing that it may not be pouring rain where you are. What is it like there right now?
Broiling.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll try to waft some. You can probably hear the sound of the rain from my room while we're sitting.
Any drops gratefully received.
Maybe it will cool you off a little bit. Okay. right here on our, on your cushion, in your chair. This door house. Of treasures opens of itself. Opens of itself. No special undertaking required. When those thoughts arise about how you should be doing something you're not, or you shouldn't be thinking what you are. Akohen says, just exclude non-entry. And perhaps exclude here just means forget about it. The moment opens of itself which is a kind of mercy we can hardly believe. But you can practice allowing yourself to believe it. What if I am not excluded? Just as they are, just as you are. You and the things of the world are one. If this is you, how lovely is that? Ote always strolled around the streets, carrying a cloth sack and a torn carpet. The cloth sack was filled with pots, bowls, wooden clogs, fish, rice, vegetables, meat, tiles, rocks, clay, wood, all kinds of things. Sometimes in a crowded place, he would open the sack, empty it, and say, "Have a look." Then he would pick the things up one by one and ask, "What is this called?" Thank you. another connection with this just occurred for me. I have a couple of connections I'd like to offer and then open up for our conversation. One thing that I noticed is a curiosity about how I don't always, or maybe we don't always, experience that sense of opening of the storehouse. I think I have sometimes an unspoken or unnoticed belief that it's closed to me. And you know, sometimes you can have a belief like that without it being a thought. It's just, that's what you act on, right? You act as if you believe it's closed. And that's a way of noticing your belief. That I don't know the way in, you know, how to open it. And so in meditation or in the day life, I think there's something I need to be opening. There's something I need to, you know, there's a key I need to find in order to really open the moment. So this teaching, these words of mercy feel so important, feel so helpful. Yeah, the storehouse of treasures opens of itself. And we do, I do, you do, sometimes, quite often actually, experience something that we call an opening. And because it is an opening. And I don't think that's separate from this opening of the storehouse opening of itself. And we didn't make it happen. And in the course of a day, I think we experience many of these, you know? I think I don't notice them happening. Because they're not a problem to be solved, you know, but all the small openings of the day. And to me, they just sound like, oh, you know, those little movement of awareness that just says, oh, that's an opening. That's the sound of the storehouse opening of itself. And learning to meditate, I think, is partly about noticing these. Noticing the moments when briefly everything is given and you have no argument with it. Nothing to take issue with. Nothing about you to take issue with. And this can be true, I think, even when the content is painful, is difficult. There can still be those moments, a moment within that, within the difficulty, within the sorrow or the pain, the moment of, oh, when something in you is just resting in it, is recognizing that it's open to you. It's an offering. It's mercy. The mercy of seeing, yes, this is how it is. And that's one reason I love that story about Hote, you know, with a bag full of everything. A bag full of miscellany, like our days. Yeah. And just lifting it to look at. What's this called? This is called tiredness. This is called the pear. This is called anger. And I noticed that I might not necessarily have to be naming everything. You know, I don't have to name it. But there's that when the storehouse opens of itself, then there it is. And that gesture of what's this? You can be can really be a freedom. Yeah. Oh, what's this? What's occurring? Second connection. This morning after our meditation, Terry Crane talked about silence and a book, Sarah Maitland's book, A Book of Silence, which I haven't read, but there was a lot that was really interesting in there. And she mentioned the moor, Dartmoor in particular, where she'd been, but the moors of England as a space of a kind of silence. And that really brought up for me again the secret garden, where a story in which, well, I'll read you this little bit about the moor. Mary has gone through a traumatic childhood and a traumatic experience where everybody who was around her in India died of a pandemic. And she was sent off to England to live on the estate of a wealthy but also traumatized uncle that she didn't know. And so she arrives on the moor with no skills with which to meet this experience whatsoever. And Mary says to her kind of what would you call her? Kind of her nanny who's taking care of her, who's lived on the moor all her life. Mary says, gosh, I thought perhaps it always rained or looked dark in England. And Martha says, no, nothing of the sort. And laughs. She's laughing a lot. And she says, Yorkshire's the sunniest place on earth when it's sunny. I told thee that I'd like the moor after a bit. Just you wait till you see the gold-colored gorse blossoms and the blossoms of the broom and the heather flowering, all purple bells, and hundreds of butterflies fluttering and bees humming and skylarks soaring up and singing. You'll want to get out on it at sunrise and live out on it all day like Dickens does. And that's Mary's first glimmering that this ocean of dark purple gray that she's been seeing out the window might be more than she thinks. It's an opening. It's the beginning of an opening. And she had no appetite for life. And was coming from that place. And there was the weight of a lot of karma on her. You know, she was coming from the place where she was part of a colonial power and the sickness that was a part of that, her rudeness to the servants who didn't dare displease her and in India. And her isolation and loneliness. But things started opening and welcoming her over and over and over. The robin that she meets on the garden path, and the sort of mysterious way that she finds the gate to the garden that's been locked for 10 years after her uncle's wife died there. And so as it opens of itself again and again, the robin befriends her, the crusty old gardener befriends her. And she discovers in the garden that everything's been untended, uncared for as she was, and begins to clear little spaces around all of the plants, and to learn how to take care of a being that's not herself. Everything opens of itself and begins to come alive again. And everyone is transformed in the process. You may take them and use them whatever way you like. And they are of a nature to transform. So this felt so connected to this time. In the middle of our despair, what is suddenly here? What opens at this moment of the shattering of our certainties, our false certainties, the moment of our recognizing how we denied the challenges to them? What is opening of itself? You may take them and use them any way you like. And the third connection for me here is about the just exclude non-entry, which feels like a vow. You know, our vows say, I vow not to. And that exclude non-entry felt like it had something to do with certainties that close things. To enter, you really have to be willing to be uncertain, right? Kind of by definition. When you're entering, you don't know fully what's inside. And, you know, as our categories sort of put lids on boxes, usefully, except there's a non-entry in them. If the storehouse of treasures opens of itself, then there's a sense almost of etiquette, you know? You'd be a fool and you'd also be rude to refuse. It has that feeling for me. What if I don't refuse my whiteness? What is in that? What is in the storehouse about that? What if I take Zhaozhou's advice, enter there? And those connections brought up for me this other poem from Musō Soseki. Since before anyone remembers, it's been clear, shining like silver, though the moonlight suffuses it and the wind ruffles it. No trace of either remains. Now, I wouldn't dare to explain the secret of the stream bed, but I can tell you that the blue dragon is coiled there. that poem too felt to me like an invitation to entry. Enter here. There's no barrier.
Could you read that one more time, Sarah?
Sure.
Thank you.
Since before anyone remembers, it's been clear, shining like silver. Though the moonlight suffuses it and the wind ruffles it, no trace of either remains. Now, I wouldn't dare to explain the secret of the stream bed, but I can tell you that the blue dragon is coiled there. So I'll stop here, and I'm eager to hear what your own experiences are with this koan and just with your meditation right now and what's going on in your life.